This is Catherine Greenhill from Librarian Matters blog with her tips on blogging and some ideas on blog fodder, i.e. what to put in a blog post.
I'm going to talk about blog fodder. So what I'm talking about is fodder. Okay, so blog fodder, what do I put in? So what it's aimed at is if you're thinking of starting a blog and you're not quite sure what you'd be putting into your blog, or if you're sitting down about to blog and you're thinking, what am I going to write? My first advice would be go and leave it. It's not that important. If you can't think of anything to write, we don't want to read what you can't think to write, so go and do something else. If you still insist, though, there's three things that I'm basically getting you to have a look at. One is your voice, and places where you can look to find your voice would be to look at your blog itself, look at your audience, and look at yourself and what you want to do. So that would be the first thing, is to have a look at some sites and have a look at yourself to find your voice. I'm going to look at some kinds of blog posts, which is just stealing a wonderful post from some other blogger who just made a wonderful list of blog posts. And then I've got some tips on what you do if you have blogger's block and you're really insisting, yes, I'm going to get that post out today, some of the things you could do to free up. So it's not one of those nuts and bolts, make sure you carry a notepad around and I use a PDA type of stuff. It's kind of a bit more philosophical than that. So the first thing is to find your voice. And the first thing to do is to look at your blog and see what type of blog is it. You might not have thought very hard about what type of blog it is, but you might want to think about whether it's a professional blog, something that you're doing for work, and so you have to have the company's best interests in mind. Whether it's a semi-professional blog, which my blog, Librarians Matter, is. That's where I write about my profession, but I don't write about my job, and I don't write about my institution on its behalf. There's just the blathery live journal kind of, I had this for dinner type of blog. There's blogs that are made for events. There's blogs that are experimental. So if you just sit down and think about what's the purpose of the blog, where does it fit in that continuum, it might give you an idea of maybe what you ought to be writing on it. Tagline. That's something that's very important to have a look at. I'm just going to show you my blog, and you can see that once you sat down to write your blog, you should have a tagline. Mine for Librarians Matter is, it is and we do, musing, enthusing, libraries, emerging technologies, balancing and being mum. That actually came after 6 months of blogging. I actually sat down and thought, I'm going to blog. And then after 6 months, I actually found out what I was blogging about, and I've got that tagline. I see that tagline as very much a contract with your readers. You may or may not. It depends how seriously you're taking it. If people come to me, that's the kind of thing they're expecting. I'll sometimes go off it, but generally that's sort of the pocket that I try to keep in. Something else that you probably have in your blog, and if you don't, you might want to think about, is having an about page. On the about page, I've got information about myself personally and information about myself professionally. Now, the reason I'm talking about the About page is when I was preparing for this, I've got a list of my professional interests. And I had a look at one of the things that I said that I'm interested in is the relationship between library spaces and their websites. And I realised I don't have actually a single post on my blog about that. So if you're sitting down trying to work out what we're going to blog about next, you might want to just take a step back and see what you've said your blog's about, what you're putting in your About pages and what people think they're coming there for, and maybe making it that type of blog, just to remind yourself what you're setting out to do, your purpose. The next thing to do is to look at your audience. Of course, you're asking, what audience? I've only just started blogging. Search bots are hitting you, people are finding you, people are Googling you, our friends are looking for your name and they're coming across your blog, spammers, okay? You have an audience the second you start blogging. So there's some different tools that you might want to use to have a look at what your audience is. Now, I don't know whether I'm unique amongst bloggers, but it's kind of a confession I've got. I have a site meter on my blog, and I look at it. I look at it daily. I look at it almost obsessively, and I kind of should be embarrassed about that, I think. But part of it is I can't believe people are reading my stuff, and they're not spammers. But the other thing is I'm really, really curious to see how people are getting to me. It's sort of what's happening with the web. How many people have sort of checked out a site meter? The two things that I have a look at, the domains that people are coming from, how long they stayed, page views and visit length. And you can see that somebody from FuseNet stayed for 4 pages and they stayed for 22 minutes. So, gee, they must have been interested in my blog. What did they come and hit on? Okay, so they've hit on my post that I've just made about the Librarians series on ABC TV. What I can do is also have a look at what the referrals are coming to my blog. And so that gives me an idea. One, I find all sorts of links that I didn't know people were linking to my blog, but it also lets me see what my audience is, where they're coming from, who's reading my stuff. If I know who's reading my stuff, it's going to make me more focused and targeted in my writing. Don't use Google Analytics because I find that it does the same as SiteMeter, and I'm so obsessed with SiteMeter that I don't want another one. But it probably works just as well or even better. I use Webmaster Tools. Webmaster Tools are from Google, so it gives you kind of a little Google report. So if you have a look at my blog here, it will actually give me the most popular terms on Google, those that are the highest on a Google search page. I think this is kind of more collated, I don't know because I've not looked at analytics. Because you can see that once I put my Voki post up, which is a little person that you can create with an audio and the person, the little avatar speaks your audio, which is kind of cute, 8% of my most popular hits are on Voki. If you do a search on google.com, I appear number 10 on one of their pages. So this sort of gives me a hint of where I am. For some reason, people are clicking through to Matter, but it's number 92 on. So God knows why. This one here is really interesting. I must have a picture or something embedded in Google. I haven't had a look. I haven't really been able to work it out. But 85% of people who find me looking under L Cats, which looks like it's on the second page, are actually clicking through. The reason why I'm showing you this is because you're looking at your audience, how they're getting to you, what they are. Your blog, as far as you're concerned, your blog has this consistent voice and it's got all these posts and you know every 100 posts and they've sort of got the same value to you because they're as loud to you. In the blogosphere, though, some of your posts are much louder than others. And some people may well think that, oh, Catherine's blog, that's only about Second Life because I've got about 5 posts about Second Life and they get a lot of hits. I write about a lot more things, but in terms of some people's posts, I'm the Second Life people. Some people might see me as the Perth alternative media reporter on. These are some of the things that people have used to get to my blog. In fact, this was just one night. I just sat down and went through, and these are the things. So none of those, I would say, is what I'm actually writing about. But I guess, like any website, what you think you're doing with your website is very different to what your users are doing with your website. And what you actually want to know is what. So domain and location are important. Because I'm an academic librarian writing in Australia, when I first started writing, nobody was coming from Australia. Now I get quite a few of edu.au hits. That means that my blogging is actually matching the audience that I want to come. And that's something important to know. You know, I like seeing the little Australian flags there, but as you're saying, some of them might be via US, but they're really Australian. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that's something else to have a look at. The other thing you want to look at is, who do you want in your audience? I mean, you might discover when you do a bit of a look at your audience that the people who are coming for you are actually different to who you think you're talking to. So you're going to have to do something with your blog posting. You're going to have to change what you do. When you sit down and think, what am I going to put on my blog? You might need to change it to something that's more attractive to the audience that you want. When you've got the audience, when you're writing for the audience you want, probably they're going to start coming. That's the theory. There's some other things to do to make that happen. The other thing I'd say to look at is, who are you? What do you actually want to write about? You might have an audience in mind and you might be wanting to write about something different. You need to have those match. When I'd say sit down, do a review of the blog post that you've done or the blog post that you think you're going to do, and work out whether it's actually what you want to do, because why would you be blogging about something you don't want to do? But some people actually do that. Would you read your own blog? Go back, have a look at your blog posts, find the ones that you found mind-numbingly boring, and we all do those. I have a tendency to go too long. Have a look and see whether you can improve on something and think, okay, I'm going to consciously sit down and write a very different blog post. So Morgan Wilson at the Exploded Library has a wonderful post about his limits of what he does with blog posts, and he says, okay, first 24 hours it's open slather, next 24 hours it's typos, grammatical only, and then after that it's set in stone. But he's sort of got a lot of qualifiers for that. If I thought that somebody was going to Google it and find wrong information on my blog, especially when it concerns people, if I've said something wrong about a person, I will, even if I've spelt their name wrong, I'll actually put update. So. But I wouldn't write a whole new blog post saying, sorry, I spelt Julianne's name wrong. Is the voice of your blog human? You might want to go back and have a look at the voice that you're projecting. Even if you're writing a corporate blog, especially if you're writing a corporate blog, to me, blogging is a chance for you to actually stop pretending you don't have sex, don't have friends, don't have mortgage, and actually... Well, this is where I'm coming to next. But there's the capacity to actually stop compartmentalising yourself so much and actually to have a human voice. But one of the things is if you decided you want to show yourself as an all-round sports-loving, non-ranting person, you might want to go and have a look at your blog post and see whether that's reflecting it. And if it's not reflecting, write a post that actually shows a bit more of that kind, charitable, church-going, giving person you want the world to think you are. Your privacy and other privacy. It's just because I'm talking about blog fodder. I had a situation where I asked for feedback at work. Somebody gave me the best email talking about all this stuff that I thought, oh, this is so great. And I asked her, can I please publish what you said and my response to it? And she was quite happy with it. And I was just about to push the publish button and I thought, hold on, other people at work know that I ask feedback for things. Are they going to think that they're becoming blog fodder for me? Even though it was fine with this person, even though it was fine with me, I think that you need, when you think about privacy, you don't just think about the privacy of the person or of yourself. You think about the privacy of that class. Okay, so if I start putting my children's friends' names in my blog and it's okay with the parent, what are the other parents going to think when they send their kids over to come and play at my house? That type of thing. Think about the lines you draw, and you're not actually talking about you and other people. You're talking about other people, if they know you blog, are going to actually regard what you do as something that could apply to them. And remember that findability equals forever. Search bots are going to come. If you put it on, if you've got an RSS feed on your blog and you push publish and then you realise that it was the worst thing you've ever said, too bad it's gone out into the RSS feeds and somebody's probably going to have read it. It's going to be archived on Google. You can look at the archive page. Somebody's going to be able to find it. That's something to remember before you sit down to post. What other online conversations are you part of? If you're actually thinking of what you're going to add to your blog, you might want to think about whether your blog is forming a node. If you're doing good blogging, to me, this is kind of personal, but to me, blogging is as much about reading other people's blogs as it is about what I write. And I sort of want to be a node in this social network. So I've got my Flickr account, I've got the Twitter account, I've got all these other things, and I'm having conversations left, right and centre all over the place. Can you actually use one of those conversations you've had, even if it's a dinner party, and bring it into your blog and talk about it? Because not everybody has heard you say just the things that you're saying on Flickr or on Twitter. I'm going to look at some kinds of blog posts just because Elissa Krosky, who writes at iLibrarian, just made the best list of blog posts. So what you might want to do is, this will be up on my blog, Librarians Matter, and at SlideShare. But what you might want to do, or go and read her original blog post, which will be linked to it. But what you might want to do is just think, can I turn my post into one of these things? So if you've got a Lego blog, the breaking news might be the Lego train set 111 is coming out. Opinion, I didn't like train set 112. Resource link list, places where you can find instructions on Lego, building Lego train sets. Ideas, inspiration. Wouldn't it be great if they combined Lego set 112 and 111 and made 113, which I think should look like this? An aggregate list or guide, Lego websites around the world. Review or analysis. I've opened train set 111 and it's crap. Humorous. Here's my joke about train set 111. A how-to or a tutorial. Here is how I put train set 111 together. An interview. I've found the designer of train set 111 and I've talked to her and it's fantastic. Case study. Why 111 didn't sell. Okay. Snarky or contrarian. I hate train set 111 and Lego and I'm going to give up blogging and I hate the world. Diary entry. Today I opened 111 and here are my pictures of every stage of it. Video. How I built train set 111. Images. Charts and graphs. Train set selling in Lego as over the year. Surveys, do you like train set 111? Why? And scholarly articles, occupational therapy and train set 111. Okay, so if you've got sort of something that's been vaguely floating around that you think, gee, I'd like to blog that, but you're not quite sure how to blog it, you might want to think of some of these types of posts and see if you can turn it into some of those posts. What type of blog post? Because with train set 111, there's a whole lot of different ways you could express that on your blog and a whole lot of different things you could do. So if you've got blogger's block, I've got a whole lot of things. People sort of might think of stuff too. Leave it. Go away. Don't do it. Get a life. Go outside in the sunshine. Really, leave it. Okay? This blogger's block thing, it's qualified by, if you don't have anything to say, don't say it. So what I do is I have ideas all the time. So I'll just write maybe a heading and three or four dot points and I'll just have them sitting in my draft file. So if for some reason I felt like I just had to write tonight, I'd then go and pull one of those out. Also, when I go on holiday, I'll have posts ready to spit out via WordPress. Read other blogs. You might want to have a look and see what other issues are being discussed in the blogosphere. Maybe go outside what you usually talk about, because the chances are that your readers are reading the same blogs you are. You might want to go out and look at the Terrier Fancier's blog and see what they're talking about in Terrier Fancying and see whether you can bring that back. But then sometimes people who don't read those other blogs think you're omitting something. I'm very aware of that. Sometimes I don't cover major issues because everybody's done it, but maybe some of my maybe Australian librarians aren't reading the American things and I've omitted a really important issue. So, you just do write a throwaway 5-minute post and it gets all these comments and then you carefully craft a killer one and nobody comments. Tell a story, which is what that spontaneous human voice. A woman called Emily Clasper, who writes a blog called Library Revolution, talks about how library blogs are really, really boring because they'll say, we got the resource on stamps today. Nobody wants to read that. But she suggests that maybe you could jazz it up by saying, when I was in fifth grade, there was this nerdy little guy who collects stamps. I thought he was a twat, blah, 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 blah. You wouldn't quite do it like that. But actually talk about yourself, talk about significance it might make to somebody in your community and tell a story. Make a list. This is sort of one of the classic how to get people to your blog kind of posts is make a list. So you can make lists about 100 different things. You know, how many tables are in this room? How many people I threw at PodCamp? geek t-shirts I saw at this event, how many dogs I've owned, how many pets I've owned. Keep it on topic, have a look at your about page tagline, but hey, make a list. Find a meme. I haven't been tagged for a meme for about 10 months. What about, there's a wonderful meme that says, go to this meme, and it says, write out your best book, then put it in the fridge, blah, 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 and do not publish. A meme is a rampant idea that's evolved well beyond what you think it would be, and it evolved so well that it's a tough little critter. The example is sort of post-it notes. You see post-it notes, if you want to highlight something, you put it on a post-it note. You see signs with post-it notes. So it's just an idea that's gone mad. With blogging, however, usually it's used to refer to those posts that somebody puts a question of, what's your favourite teacher? What was your favourite teddy bear at school? Tell me about your 10 random facts. But it's just where you sort of have a list of questions and you say, okay, I've done mine, you show me yours. Set a public challenge. So that's something you could do. You might want to set a public challenge. Maybe not so quite big, but you might want to say, I'm trying to lose weight this week, follow my progress or something. Set a posting schedule. I don't have a posting schedule. My posting schedule is I like to get 3 posts out per week and not post more than, if I posted yesterday, I don't want to post today. I try to not talk too much, so I've got an anti-posting schedule. Some people do find that setting a posting schedule actually helps them to just break that blogger's block. Go off topic, bring it back. If you go somewhere and it's not within the scope of your blog, but you're really excited and think, gee, I want to tell my readers about this and how I'm going to make it relevant. I went to see Circus Oz. I thought they were fantastic. I wanted to tell the world. I thought my blog is about libraries. How do I do that? So I looked at the fact that they've got occupational health and safety rules. They've got cruelty to animals mob. They've got all sorts of stuff. They've had to totally redefine what they do to keep surviving. And I thought, well, if they can do it, libraries can do it. So that's how I tied it in. Write a post for the search bots. Have a post. Do people understand the way that Google works, that it's not just random, whatever appears on your front page? If you put the title of the search term is in the title of your blog, Google kind of likes blogs, it's going to go up higher. So you can, I saw a post the other day that was a review of Halo 3, the game, and they said, just like Viagra, blah, 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 and they had all the buzzwords you could possibly put that people would want via a search bot in their post, and I mean, that would make it more visible. So you might want to post something just to make people come. Only do sort of one a lifetime or people will get very cynical. Okay, ask questions and summarise. I think we've talked about this. Do stuff on Twitter, do stuff on Facebook, bring it back. Invite a guest blogger. You might want to, you're sick of it, get somebody else in to talk for you. Work in another medium and embed it. I kind of do this accidentally. I never think, gee, I've got nothing to write. I'm going to do something else. But you can take a photo, put it on Flickr and embed it, draw a picture and scan it, make a slidecast, which is audio with your PowerPoint slides at slideshare.net, do an audio file, make a video, okay? So go somewhere else, go out somewhere, do an interpretive dance, whatever, and pop it on your blog. Second Life, yeah? Doing it in Second Life. Okay, so in summary, if you want stuff for your blog, find your voice, know the types of blog posts, know how to deal with blogger's block, and play.